Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master Energy Teacher, Medium, and author of the newest book in a trilogy, A New Life Awaits, Spirit-Guided Insights to Support Global Awakening, which shares stories and spiritual messages that show us our challenges are not economic, political, or societal, but often a disconnection from our inner soul wisdom. I am delighted to welcome Forrest Rivers, author of COVID-19 and Humanity's Spiritual Awakening, which shows us that there is good to come out of the pandemic's tragic and chaotic nature, and that unity and compassion are on the rise as a result of what the world has lived through. Hello, Forrest, and thank you for joining us on Healing From Within.
Oh, hi, Cheryl. It's an absolute honor to be on your show today.
Forrest, and I'm glad that you're with us. Forrest, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my guests and I share intimate, insightful stories of understanding our dual nature as both physical and energetic beings who, when they merge the wisdom of their intuition and connection to spiritual or universal energy, are better equipped to create the best version of themselves and offer through this awareness of higher consciousness more to their families and communities. We explore life both in the physical realm and beyond, becoming aware of the eternal nature of life and the interconnection to all that is. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Forrest Rivers, an author and inspirational speaker, shows us that though COVID-19 has been a harbinger of mass chaos and unspeakable tragedy for many people, if we are able to still our minds and quiet our fears, we can start to see a different narrative emerging, one of hope, personal empowerment, and spiritual awakening. Forrest, I always love to ask my insightful guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, event that may have signaled to them, or maybe others around them, what lifestyle and interests and work that they might pursue as an adult. For I feel the totality of our physical life journey comes with us, within us, from the beginning of our life here on Earth, and just unfolds as we move along. So tell us something of an event like that you remember or was meaningful to you.
Yeah. I've given a lot of interviews, Cheryl, and that's the first time I've ever been asked that. And that's a beautiful question. You know, actually for me, there was an event really early on that made me really interested in like the spiritual quest. And I didn't even know it back then, right? I didn't know to call it the spiritual quest. I didn't know that it had anything to do with awakening or higher consciousness. But the event that I had was my grandfather, my beloved grandfather, my papu in Greek. He was real sick in the hospital. And I remember when I went to visit him, I wanted to lay my hands on him and try to heal him. And I remember like at that moment really believing that if I put my hands on him, that that somehow like a higher energy would come through and heal him of his illness. And I remember very specifically doing that, putting my hands all over his stomach and his chest. And in that moment, little did I know that that's actually a real thing, right? Energy healing. And
exactly. I'm a Reiki master teacher. I've studied for 25 years with many teachers. Yes, it is very real.
I mean, I thought you would love that. You know, as a Reiki master, I thought you would love that. And I remember at that moment just thinking, whoa, like I want to help heal people. I want to help uplift people. And it was in that moment with my grandfather, who was just absolutely my beloved, like grandfather, he was an inspiration. I just remember that moment just feeling like, oh, there's definitely something more than just this physical plane, and I want to spend my life doing something that heals people. That was it right there.
Yes, I sort of knew that as a child too. I wanted to make people happy. As an empath, which I didn't know then either, I could feel so much pain and sorrow and unhappiness from people. And I was either laughing or crying, depending on the people and energy and situations I was in. But nobody explained it to me, and nobody understood it. Not even my doctor, when I constantly had stomach viruses, and I must have taken more antibiotics than anybody on the planet, because that's what they did every time you were sick, which was not such a good thing. But I also was very close to my grandfather, and 25 years ago, I was on a materialistic, business-oriented, scientific, physical life path. Even though I had these spiritual gifts, I never was able to put it all together. But 25 years ago, or more, it was 1993, I was very sick with the flu. And I was laying there moaning and groaning. I couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden, I felt my grandfather right by my side. It was
Oh, that's
an
amazing.
energy, but I couldn't see him. And he was trying to tell me something. I said, "I can't hear you," in my sleep. I said that. And the thought went through my head, "You have to write something for your father." And the next day, I received a call from my mother that my father had passed, and I wrote his eulogy, but I couldn't forget the feeling of the interaction. It wasn't a dream, it was a spiritual visitation from my
Yeah, that's what I was going to
grandfather.
say.
Yeah, but I didn't know it then. It took me
Yeah, that.
another year to read a book. I couldn't forget it. And then through a set of circumstances, coincidences, synchronicity, I was guided to read a book, and I discovered what had happened, and I had to learn more about spiritual communication and energy and a life after life and all these things that had resurfaced in me that had been
Yes.
sort of put to the back burner because I had to live in the physical world and I couldn't be what I saw as people, metaphysical people, sometimes as being airy fairy, like up in the sky and
Sure.
not practical. I was raised in a very practical. So, see, our grandfathers were very important on our spiritual journey.
Oh my gosh. And if you think about it, even in the like in the indigenous cultures, the elders are revered for their wisdom, and they're revered for their healing, and they're revered for their compassion. And so it's not a surprise that the grandfathers have been such an instrumental role for both of us.
Maybe he came to me that night because he knew how wounded I would be the next day, and he wanted to share that moment of love with me. Maybe he came to me because guides or teachers in spirit said, Cheryl needs to move forward now on her path. She has a lot of
Yes.
work to do, and we got to get her going. And that's what happened. I dedicated in the last 25 years to traveling, learning, and sharing, having a practice, writing three books, as I was told I must do. When I
Yes.
was first told it, I said, "Oh, I don't think so." I always resisted a bit.
Isn't that amazing how it just arises when you follow a path of whatever you want to call it, higher consciousness or God or universal being, whatever term people are the list your listeners are comfortable with. Isn't it amazing how that impulse to follow that just arises almost like
No,
spontaneously within you? It's incredible. And but
it's like
it was always there.
it was there. It had to be
Yeah.
reactivated. And once I knew the truth that many of my beliefs were not accurate, that I had been taught, and now I was seeing things in a more universal plan of oneness and divinity, I had to let go of other things, and I had to follow this path. And I actually made a promise to spirit, God, the divine universal source, whatever we call it. And I said, please let me carry this truth, this information. This is the greatest thing that I've ever learned, that consciousness survives physical death, that we're eternal soul beings. And it's true, I know it. Before I sort of thought little bits and pieces of that might be viable, but now I knew it beyond the shadow of a doubt, and I made a promise to go as far down the field carrying that ball or that nugget of information to as many people as I could. And I've been doing it ever since. So whenever something comes in, I no longer say, I can't do it, I won't do it. I go, oh, okay. They want me, Spirit wants me to do this. It's and nothing for me to be afraid of. I will have help. Huh? And that says a lot. But you also told a story about when you were about 30 years old and you went to where was it you traveled to?
Maui. I went. I
Oh,
had the
Maui, right.
an absolute blessed opportunity to go to that enchanted island for about 10 days. And it was absolutely, how do I even describe it?
I've been there.
Transformative.
I've been there too. I've been there to Honolulu, and I also was told to look for a healer. Someone would be there to take me a little further on the healing journey. So I kept looking and looking, and it was when I was leaving, and I was in the airport, and sitting next to a woman, and we started to talk. And it turned out she was a spiritual healer who lived in Massachusetts. And she looked me in the eyes and she told me something that I needed to know at the moment, something I had been questioning. And so the spiritual healer was there and I did meet her, but it wasn't in Hawaii. It wasn't someone there in Hawaii, something that I would see or do. It was on my way going home. So it was an amazing thing. But tell us about your when you were there and what happened.
So about 9 years ago, I had been struggling for just over a decade with very serious alcohol abuse, which sort of started as more kind of social drinking, spiraled into just kind of a full-fledged drinking problem. And when I went to Hawaii, when I went to Maui, I had the opportunity to connect with the nature. And anybody who's been to Hawaii knows, and Cheryl, you could speak to this, it's absolutely astounding, just the breathtaking wonder of the natural world in Maui. And I got on some amazing hikes my entire time there. And you know, I have ocean on one side and the mountains on the other at a particular vista, and I just remember being blown away. And
It
there was
is. It is like a
it was
little piece of heaven on earth.
it's a piece of heaven on earth. It's like where I always said, it's like where the spirit meets the physical, you know, it all merges together. And I remember the entire week just being absolutely transformative for me. It helped me realize that there is something far greater than just this physical world. There's something far beyond just the worldly plane of reality. And there was one moment in Maui where this all came together for me. I had been hiking down this sort of like back road, this back dirt road. And then there was like a little path, a little spur trail off to the left, and I walked up it. And then I remember it kind of dead ended after about 200, maybe 200, 300 meters. And I peeled back the trees, and there were these two tropical plants, a fluorescent yellow plant on one side, and then a fluorescent orange plant on the other. Just absolutely unbelievable. And I walk to the edge and I'm at a cliff, and it came out at a cliff, and I'm just staring off into the ocean, and it was sunset, and I just remember being absolutely blown away. And in that moment, right there, then and there, I was like, I didn't know, I didn't think that there was a greater consciousness or a greater divinity to life. I knew. It was just like a knowing. And you spoke to that, Cheryl, before, that just knowing that the things I had been tinkering with in my mind, oh, you know, maybe reincarnation's real, maybe it's not, maybe the spiritual path is real, maybe it's a hype, I don't know. In that moment, I was like, that's who we are. We are, as you said, Cheryl, we are eternal soul beings. And suddenly, you know, after that trip in Maui, I didn't have the urge to be a heavy drinker anymore. Yeah, I still went out for
Well,
many years and,
you were
you know,
healed.
and
You were
I
healed
healed.
in the connection to those in spirit. You know, spiritual healers are around us all the time. Souls are around us all the time. We don't come into this world alone, and we don't leave it alone. Each of us may have three guides, and at other times, when we are working on something, other guides may come in. And it is, once you know this, nobody can take it away from you unless you allow it, unless you allow them. But let's go on to why did you write this book, and what message do you want to convey with this book?
So, you know, it's interesting. When I sat down and started writing COVID-19 and Humanity's Spiritual Awakening, I started writing this book in March of 2020. So right when the lockdowns started happening, you know, there were two reasons I wrote it. One was I was trying, to be totally honest with all your listeners, I was trying to process all of the events that were happening. It was almost, as for so many people, it was overwhelming. You know, I was feeling fear and worry and, you know, anxiety. And, you know, and for many years I've been trying to inspect my own, introspect on my own relationship with death. And that was more, in my face and everybody's face. And so part of the reason I wrote the book, Cheryl, was to like, to, was to, for my own sense of therapy, to make sense of what was happening. And, but the second reason I wrote it, and a big reason I wrote this, was to try to inspire people, to help people remember that despite all of this tragedy and all this very real suffering that is happening during COVID, we can use this as a great teacher, that suffering, the suffering we've all experienced during this time, while horrific, can be grist for the mill, to use a phrase from one of my most influential spiritual teachers, Ram Dass. It can be grist for the mill, or it can be the sandpaper for our own like spiritual evolution. And so I wanted to write something to kind of counter the narrative of sort of doom and gloom, and this is just another sign that humanity is going down a horrific path. And I wanted to counter that and say, look, everything that happens in this universe has a purpose behind it, including this pandemic. And if we work with the suffering, we can actually come out the other side and spiritually evolve. And so I started writing a series of chapters, or like, I guess I would say like musings, having to do with different themes, all with COVID and the idea of spiritual awakening. And the product of that was this book. And
Yes,
so, yeah, it
yes.
was,
And I think what you're trying to convey here is that sometimes unsettling times, while they make us more divided, alone, and afraid, they allow us to look within and realize our common ties with all of humanity. So we can transcend all that separates us. Now, part of the, yeah.
And that's the whole point of, and Cheryl, that's the whole point of the, as you and I are clearly, you know, vibrationally on the
Yes.
same page here. I can feel like that's the whole point of the spiritual path, is to recognize, is to transcend the illusion of separateness and recognize we really are all one, and that everything is one interconnected web of divinity. And this pandemic has brought that to the forefront. I mean, Look at what we've seen just over the last 2 years. Every single country has had their bout with COVID, whether it was India with the Delta variant, or it was Italy early on rationing healthcare, or it was America having its woes with it, or Brazil. Every
It's been
the
all,
whole world,
look, it's been all over the world, and I will tell
it's been all over
you,
the world.
yeah, in March, when you started putting this book together, my book came out, A New Life Awaits. I see every day as a new opportunity to learn more about ourselves and the world and to
Yes.
participate in any event that will bring progress. So nothing is random. And co I was mad. I got COVID at about the end of March, early April, and I was home for quite a while. And I would be speaking to my guides, practicing my Reiki. I went through all the symptoms, and it was unpleasant, but not any worse than over the years, I've always had little bouts of bronchitis from allergies that
Sure.
goes to bronchitis. So it was much like that for me. But then when I was watching television, I realized I had it. And I would call my doctor every day. She couldn't come to the house, but she advised me and she was with me through the whole thing. But I was kind of surprised that I had it as a healer. And, I knew there must be a purpose for me to have had it. And
Sure.
months down the road, I interviewed another healer who also had it. And she said to me, you know, I wasn't able to help anybody until I had COVID myself. And then my body and spirit could bypass the toxicity of that energy. And I could send distant healing to people in the hospital. But before I had COVID myself, when I would try to help someone with COVID, I couldn't get past the energy of it. So then I realized the same thing was true for me, and that's why I had to have it. It was part of my life plan and destiny, and it made me very sad to see everything locked down. I would go in my car when I was better. And I'd see all these businesses and all these people out of work. I actually cried. I knew they were all struggling without their
Yes.
income and their livelihood and being socially with the people they needed to be with. But that was also necessary so people could learn
Yes.
to have reinvent their values and get away from
Well,
some
that and
of
that's
the, yeah.
oh gosh. Oh gosh, not to interrupt you. That's beautiful, Cheryl. And well, first of all, thank you for sharing that experience that you had COVID and how COVID literally helped you evolve in your ability to heal people during this pandemic. That's
Yeah.
incredibly inspiring. And that's actually something that I didn't actually, that's one
I
angle
didn't think about it
of.
either, but then I saw after this woman told me, and I realized the feeling that I had with the tickling in the throat and the chest and the swelling in my neck. I couldn't help another person when I was gripped in that energy and illness. So
Yes.
it was advantageous. But let's get on to this is important. How can people embrace suffering in a positive way? Briefly tell me.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple ways to embrace suffering in a positive way, and one thing that comes to mind is the power of prayer and meditation. Whenever we suffer, a lot of the suffering that comes up is our mind trying to fight against what is. I mean, I think we've all been there. I think every listener, I think all your listeners, Cheryl, have been there. I've been there. You've been there. Where we, when something unpleasant happens, we try to pretend, push it away and not accept it, right? Just say, this is not happening to us. This has no purpose, but it does. It's happening. There's a phrase one of my old meditation teachers used to say all the time when you're facing suffering. And the phrase is, this is how it is now. It doesn't mean this is how it's always going to be, right?
Oh
This is
no,
just how it is.
everything changes, yeah.
Everything passes. This is how it is now. And so, you know, one thing that we can do is learn to quiet our minds and learn to sit with what is. And that's the power of meditation, the power of prayer. You mentioned communicating with your spirit guides, communicating with source, communicating with your divine teachers or gurus. That's something that we can all do. We can pray, we can meditate. Other things that we can do when we're met with suffering, and one thing that I like to do a lot of is practice some kind of like gratitude mantras.
Excellent. Yeah.
And to say, okay, my suffering, I acknowledge my suffering. This is very unpleasant, but then I try to say, but
But this
I've
too.
had per
Yeah, this too
this
shall
too
pass, and
this
I will
too
be happy
yes.
and grateful for my life. Yeah, of
Yes,
course.
this too shall pass, and I'll be grateful for my life, and I'll be grateful for the lessons that come out of this suffering. I'm going to be that much wiser, that much stronger, that much more compassionate. As you mentioned, Cheryl, like until you had COVID, you couldn't really fully relate to the vibrations of that energy
No.
until you had it. Well, that came out of that suffering, that unpleasantness you went to. So, I think practicing gratitude, as difficult as it sometimes can be, during bouts of suffering, gratitude is incredibly important. And then also just calming our minds and being with what is.
Yes.
So those are some things that I definitely recommend that we can all
Abs
do during this time.
absolutely right on. So what do you want people reading the book to take away
Thank you.
with them?
Yeah, I just want people to feel to not give up hope. Not give up hope, not lose faith. Yeah, things look kind of bleak with all the divisiveness and all the anger and all of the chaos that's greeted us over the last year and change, eight and actually more than year and change, year and 9 months or
Oh
so.
no,
But this,
it's over 2 years already that
yeah,
this
I guess we're at 2 years. Holy
yeah.
moly.
Then I want to thank you, Forest Rivers, for providing a way to see COVID-19 realistically, as indeed we have to see all the events of our life. It is a complicated disease, and there has been an international disruption of society and financial well-being, but it is also a means to spiritually grow and evolve and know ourselves as the duality of our physical and energetic essences of body and spirit, which has unlimited potential to create out of the dust of time and universes something new.
Yes.
To read more about survival in a changing world, go to ForestRivers.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have taken a two-sided view of the recent COVID-19 worldwide plague to see how, while it had been like something out of the Twilight Zone in strangeness and negative effects, it also offers a way for humanity to unify and remember who they are. For individuals to remember who they are as spiritual beings, having a physical life with the capacity to make choices and renew the best values of love, prosperity, hope, healing, and kindness, which must never be lost no matter how difficult times are. We have seen how combining a terrifying health crisis with a catastrophic economic collapse is the recipe for social conflict. The world, which has been sadly divided by identity, politics, religion, social class,
Yep.
geographic location, culture, and race, as well as liberal versus conservative, religious fundamentalists versus atheists, rich versus poor, urban dwellers versus rural farmers, and the white race versus all other. We've seen this, and we know there's one side who thinks that they've got to buckle under to everything they're being told, and on the other side, there are those who believe that COVID-19 is a God-oriented event which will bring us past media,
Yeah.
government, and any climate of fear, so we can make our own choices and stay out of the narrative that's being given from some people. We have to be aligned to our own soul and spiritual truths. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master Energy Teacher and author of a trilogy, A New Life Awaits, And I invite you to visit my website to cherylglick.com to read about and listen to leaders in the metaphysical, scientific, spiritual, educational, medical, and arts and music fields, explore the duality of life and ways to go beyond human limitations. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.